Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at a few different scripture verses this morning. We're just going to kind of walk through a few of these. And I just want the Holy Spirit to put in me the heart of the Lord. I want Him to do that in you, put His heart in you, and more. Not that it's not happening already, but you know what? We want the fullness. We want to grow in it. We want to catch up with what He's doing. And we need to continually be transformed by Him and changed by Him. I was asked recently about, you know, describe to me, Randy, how you can have the heart of a shepherd. It's kind of a loaded question, and it would be the same really for any of us, that, you know, you can't really have the heart of the shepherd unless you are, pardon my, you know, slang, unless you're hanging around with the good shepherd. And the other part of that is, you can't really say that you have the heart of a shepherd and a heart for the good shepherd unless you have a heart for people. And only the Lord can put something so pure into a person. And I still have a long way to go. But He is moving us along, and I believe He's moving you along. And the reports that I hear from people just saying, you know, recently, you spoke this message, or recently the Lord was talking to me about this, or we discussed this in our Bible study, or this is what I felt the Lord saying to me in my private devotional time with Him. And these conversations are happening, and I want you to know that the Lord is moving upon your life. And He is bringing about His good work and His good pleasure in you. Don't fight it. Don't doubt it. Don't fight it. Don't doubt it. And you and I, may we stay submitted to Him. And one of the little keys about the authority of Christ being exercised in our life has a lot to do with how submitted we are to Him. It's interesting that as we submit more to Him and yield more to Him, and more comes under His authority and dominion, that less of the things in our life that are contrary to God's plan and purpose in our life can't hang on to anything, because it's disappearing under our submission to the Lord. It's losing the thing to hang on to that it gets to stay and reside in us. Has nothing to hang on to, and it has to go. Okay? So, in other words, for example, if we begin to submit to the Lord about forgiveness, the forgiveness and the forgiving of other people, resentment has nothing to hold on to, and therefore it can't stay. You see? It has nothing to hang on to. Nothing that says, hey, I can hang on to this. I can hang on to your unforgiveness and I can stay here. And you can proclaim the name of the Lord all you want and sing His name. But if you don't submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in the area of forgiveness, resentment gets to stay because it hangs on. And as we begin to submit to the Lord and He puts His heart in us, these things that are contrary to the Spirit of God, they dissipate, they go away, and then there's nothing for them to hang on to stay present in our life. I want the Lord to put those things, put His heart in me, in us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning in a little bit different context, but it's about his heart in us. I want to read in Luke chapter 19, and if you do not have a Bible, in the pew rack in front of you, you will see a Bible that's accessible to you. You can take that out and follow along. If you are here this morning and you don't have your own Bible, I want you to know that that Bible that you're using from the pew rack when the service is over, I want you to know you can take it with you. You can make it your own. It is a gift to you if you are in need of a Bible. We have more. We can replenish those, and we are so glad to give them to people who don't have one. And so you just you can write your name in the cover. And take it with you and make it your own. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he, Jesus, drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that would make for peace." In other words, what it's going to cost to bring peace to you. Oh, that you could know, because they had no idea. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. He is saying to Jerusalem, you have no idea what it's going to cost for you to find peace. And you have not recognized the time of God's visitation to you. In other words, the manifestation of God in Jesus Christ. That they did not recognize that God, if this is no longer a prophet, this is God Himself, the Messiah, the Christ, has come to you. You have not recognized the time of your visitation of God. These were God's people, and they did not recognize that the coming of the Messiah was taking place. That the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, they did not recognize the time of His visitation. Even though the prophets prophesied about a coming Messiah, though they were God's chosen and God's elect, they did not recognize the visitation of the Lord. They would go to the temple. They would go to the synagogues. They would make their sacrifices. They would call out to God, and yet they did not recognize the visitation and the time of the Lord's coming to them. And as Jesus approached the city, he wept over it. I want to ask you a question, because we are his followers. When's the last time you have wept over the lostness of your city? When's the last time you have shed tears on the behalf of another person you know that does not know the Lord? When is the last time you have felt the pain and the aching of the Lord for someone else? When's the last time you've come down the interstate and you approach the exit for your town? I know not all of you live in Sparta. Some of you live in Toma. Some of you, you live up in Alma Center. I don't see her here this morning, but she drives from there. Some of you from La Crosse. Some of you from Holman. Some of you from Oakdale. I know people have come here from Elroy. Some of you walk here from Leon. Some of you come here and you pass Bangor. Some of you from Onalaska. If I missed your town, I'm sorry. But when is the last time You cut off Highway 27 and you began to weep over your town, Cashton. Lord, as weep for his people. When's the last time you, Randy, have wept over your city? You can always tell when the exit for Sparta, when I'm coming, I'm eastbound on 90, before you start to really see the exit signs coming up for exit 25 here, you can see the family restaurant sign, especially at night, it starts to glow, you know. Not that I'm just drawn to restaurants. You can see the glow of the city. You start to see the glow a little more at night because of, you know, the sand mine over here. It really starts to illuminate at night. And I know that I'm about to come to my city. Where I live. Where we rent a house on the north side of town, we're up on just a little bit of a hill, and we can look out the largest window. Well, we have a couple large windows. One large window that faces south, and I can see over the treetops, because we're just elevated enough. I see over the treetops, and I can see the tops. It's funny, it's another restaurant. The Golden Arches. Well, if you can call it a restaurant. Never mind. And I can see the tops of the Golden Arches. And the people this town represents, and the town you're from, when is the last time you wept for this town? Rather than complained about its evil and its injustices, or the economy of this town, or the people who live here who have no regard for God. They're not worthy of your tears. I want you to take a look at who the Lord was weeping over. I want you to take a look at Matthew 23. These are the kind of people he was weeping over. Verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. Jesus was weeping over a city where they killed God's anointed, where God was sending message after message to his people of repentance and of God's love and of God's patience, also of God's judgment. And God sent messenger after messenger over generations. And they killed his servants. And Jesus, this is the people he wept over. He wasn't weeping over just what you and I may classify as nice, good people. He was weeping over those who violently objected and fought against God's will and God's message. He wept over them. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you, your children, together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you would not come to me. We can look at the rejection of the gospel and people around us. Please, please, in God's name, do not let your heart grow hard or cold against them. But may you weep over the towns in the cities that you live. May you weep over the neighborhood where you live. Don't just complain at the violence outside your door and the disregard that people have for one another and for God. But I challenge you to begin to weep over them and let God put His heart in you. Maybe you live in a nice neighborhood. Maybe you live in a neighborhood where your biggest concern is how much you pay for tax to live there. Don't complain about your tax. Begin to weep over your neighbor who lives in a fancy house, but inside the walls are great pains and lostness. Don't be fooled by clay tile shingles and stones and beautiful lumber on the exterior of a home. It does not shield them from the pains of life. I want to challenge you to ask God to put His heart in you. And rather than just recognizing the evils and the disregard for God around you, that you would begin to weep for the people and on behalf of the people that God has so often tried to gather and they would not come. The people you have invited to church or Bible study or to your home or some church event who say no, who say no, who say no. Do you just take it personal and get hurt, or will you begin to weep over them? When you're coming home from errands, I'd ask that you refrain from texting and actually look at your neighborhood. Not just they don't take care of their house and I wish they'd cut their grass or shovel their snow or... You begin to weep for your neighborhood. The presence of the gospel is in your town, in this city. Where is the weeping? Jesus wept. He tried to gather the people like a hen gathers her chicks. A little earlier in the chapter of 23, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you build tombs of prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in those days of our fathers, we would have not taken part in the shedding of the blood of the prophets.'" They make this self-righteous statement that if I would have lived then, I would have recognized the prophet. And yet they are living in the day of Jesus and do not recognize the Son of God. Do not ride down your neighborhood street and through your community and think, "Man, if I were in their shape, I'd sure start to talk to the Lord. If I were in their shoes, if I were in their condition, I certainly would have turned to the Lord." Please refrain from the self-righteousness that we have sometimes built upon the purity of God's grace and contaminated it by saying, "I would know better. I would never do that." And begin to let God's heart come into you and begin to weep for people's souls. The tears that drop like prayers of intercession for the lost. It's interesting. He says, you take these tombs and whitewash them and decorate them. Do you know why they did that, by the way? They didn't do it just to make it pretty and fancy and just to honor those who've died. You have to remember that if you touch a tomb, you're unclean. You're unclean and got to go through a cleansing process before you can, you know, show up in the fellowship and show up at the temple and all of that. You've got to go through this cleansing process. It was one of their laws, one of their rules. And so they would whitewash them and decorate them because they would illuminate at night. And they would not step on or touch these tombs. And Jesus says, you religious leaders who don't recognize the visitation of the Lord, you hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs. Those who come into contact with you or your teaching and they fellowship with you and listen to you and adhere to what you say and what you oppress them with, they become unclean because they were in contact with you. I don't want that said of you, of me, of us, or the church. And I will tell you that a weeping for souls will wash it away as God puts His heart in us. I know that you're here and you have a heart for very specific people in your life. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a family member, a parent, a friend, a neighbor, whoever it is. You have a heart for some very specific people, and I think that's good and I think that's right. But I want us to look at this scripture in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, verse 21, it says this. And Jesus went away from there, withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by the devil, by a demon. But he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, would you send her away? For she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered her, oh, woman. Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus was sent for a very specific purpose. He was sent for a very specific people group. And he made it known. I want to remind you the example of Jesus, that we need to pay attention to the people along the way who maybe are not our focus. You have an affinity towards your friend, maybe towards a coworker, for a relative who you want to know to come to Christ. But I want you to know that our life is filled around us with people who are crying for help. But we do not hear their cries because they don't always come up and say, you know, servant of the Lord, and kneel down and cry out and say, would you please deliver me of this pain? But the way they live, the way they act, the attitude they convey is all a result of pain and lostness. And we do not hear it as a cry. We see it only as offense. And so we don't weep for them, or we don't take time for them. I want you and I to become aware that we need to weep for our towns, weep for our neighborhoods, continue to extend your hand as wings to gather them, even though they will not come, or not all. And that those that we have an affinity towards to see to come to Christ, that we still need to pay attention to the others around us who maybe are not our focus or have our attention. Jesus had a specific purpose. We know that he had a specific people group. But Jesus always took time for everybody. And he heard their cries. Will we weep? Will we weep? Will we let God's heart somehow transform our heart of flesh? Hopefully not a heart of stone. Will we weep? Will we extend our hands to gather people? Will we weep and extend our hands to people who are abrasive, unholy, broken, who have rejected God? I want to mention this morning, and in these passages we read, it's interesting to find out what Jesus forecasts and what came into people's lives for those who rejected him or did not pay attention to the time of God's visitations. They moved to a place where they were surrounded, and they were desolate, and they were destroyed, and the people that were important to them. You and I need to take note of that, because don't think just because we are in this building and we call ourselves the church, we still have to recognize the voice of the Spirit and his visitation and his presence among us. We have to recognize the voice of his leading in our daily life as we are about our business and about our responsibility when he calls and directs us to someone. Or do we not know the visitation of his Spirit in our life to be led by him? That we did our devotions that morning, and I'll check back in tomorrow. Do we know the moments of his visitation, his leading? Will we weep? Will we spread our wings? And will we pay attention to those who are crying that were not on our hit list to reach?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.